Hello and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
Today we are doing a course curriculum episode. If you guys have been on TikTok, there's no way you haven't seen this. It's all about making learning fun again. And if you're listening, you're probably over the age of 18. And so it can be hard to incorporate active, organized learning into our lives because we get busy, we start families, work takes over. But ongoing education is so important. And as this podcast is kind of rooted in the eight dimensions of wellness, with intellectual wellness being one of the pillars, this is so on brand for us. And we are both so excited to talk about what is on our fall curriculum for this upcoming semester, if we will.
Yeah, but first, as always, we're going to catch up, share our peaks of the week, and then we'll get into our curriculum. So, Allison, what's going on? Any life updates you want to share?
It's been a very peaceful, rejuvenating week over in my world. Clay is back in Omaha. He had to go officiate that wedding and his family Okoboji trip. And of course, I love him to death. He is my soulmate. He is my partner. But man, a week alone has just felt so good. And it makes me remember how when you live alone, you have so many hours in the day that you can just do stuff. I feel like in the last 10 days since he left, I have knocked out so many projects. I feel so on top of everything. I feel clean. I feel organized. I have my P's and Q's together. We were talking 2 weeks ago and last week of channeling that Virgo season energy, back to school energy, and I am in it. And it's reminding me this is like my favorite time of year. I think September is just perfect. It still has some of that fun energy from summer. The weather is good, but the fall vibes are creeping in. And I'm just a happy girl this time of year.
Yay, I love that. I know, fall is the best. Definitely my favorite season. So we're experiencing a heat wave randomly. So I can't say that I feel that way right now. It's literally 90 degrees. Well, actually, it's 85 right now. But yesterday was 90. I think the high today is going to get up to 90. So once this week passes, I feel like I'll be right there with you of enjoying the fall weather.
I know I'm stopping myself from committing to too many fall things yet because I want to make sure I give every month its due diligence. And I feel like people are always so eager to jump into fall everything. Like I was walking past the flower market today and there were starting to be some pumpkins out. And I was like, ooh, should I buy pumpkins? And I'm like, I'm going to wait till October. We don't need them yet. It's okay. Like, so the flower bouquet I got was a little bit more transitional. Like I didn't fully commit to the fall colors yet. And I think that's good because otherwise, if we're always just like living too far in the future, it's like, you know, technically fall doesn't even start until September 20th. And we're in fall until December 20th. And then people start doing Christmas winter stuff like the day after Thanksgiving. So I'm team keep things when they're supposed to be so that we give them, I don't know, the diligence that they deserve it in their own time.
Allison coming with the hot takes today, guys. It's true. I mean, but people really do jump right into fall. Also, I saw a good hot take. Not really. I'm joking, obviously. But a hot take was that a lot of people skip apple season because people jump right into pumpkin season. And apple season is right now. So if you guys have a pumpkin patch that also has apples, don't forget to go do that part now. Because I think people just jump right into the pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin pie, all that stuff. And we forget it's the best time to get apples, at least here in the U.S., so.
Oh my God, that validates the amount of apples I've been eating lately. And I will splurge. The Pink Lady apples, they are my favorite. I don't care how much they cost. If they're like four times the price of the other apples, they are so crispy and so good size. I have been eating so many apples with cinnamon. It's like my favorite afternoon snack right now.
Yum. Okay, amazing. Anything else?
Anything else? Well, Jessie did come to visit for a quick 48 hours in typical Jessie fashion. She had another wedding in Italy, so she came up on her, quote, way out. And it was nice that she had already visited earlier in the summer because when she came the first time, we did a little bit more, quote, like Dutch things. We did the boat tour and I showed her some coffee shops. So this time around, we just got to chill and talk and catch up, cook at home. We did go to one restaurant, Cafe de Paris, but otherwise we pretty much just like laid low over the weekend and talked. It was really, really nice.
That's such a good reminder that you don't have to always go out and do things. I also did something similar this weekend where we just went over to a friend's house. We could have went and done 8 million things, but it was just nice to go play a board game, hang out, chill, had some wine. And it's just as equally filling. And sometimes you don't want all the crazy stimulation and just to save money too.
I know. We were like, whoa, we spent like no money. Like I think we each spent like $50 over the whole weekend. I was like, oh, this is nice when you do stuff.
And that can be tied to fall curriculum if you want a finance curriculum or something with your money. A little no spend September, something like that.
I have been channeling that, but what's the right word? Dopamine shopping September in really small quantities. So you guys know I've told you about the thrift store that's kind of by my place. It's like less than a mile away. Well, they moved into a different warehouse building that's like literally next door. But when they did that, they like reorganized everything and it's so much cleaner and set up way better. So I've been going over there almost like probably every other day and I will let myself buy one thing. Like I got one coffee mug, two cute little spoons, one flower vase, like each day just getting one thing and my total will be like €1, €2. And it's just so fun to feel the like validation and experience of getting to buy something without actually like having spent any money. And then I feel like you appreciate it more. Like the one little coffee mug that I got is the perfect amount for my morning espresso. And I'm like, wait, she's just this vintage, cute little teacup-y thing that I'm like, I love you. And I don't know if I would have loved it as much if I had gotten this like massive haul of things.
So true. I know. I keep everything you're saying. I'm like tying it back to my life. I'm so sorry. But like, I'm resonating a lot with everything you're saying. For me, this is, I've totally stopped Amazon. Like I have it still, but I'm trying to just support shopping, not always local, but even just physical stores, because I feel like I've seen everyone saying we need to stop relying on all these subscriptions because our whole life is going to become subscriptions if we don't cut back. But also I feel like you buy things impulsive and then at the end of the month, you've spent $200 or $300 on just random things. And by not immediately satisfying the urge to buy something, which it is things that you need, but I find that then I weed it out and say, okay, I can live with this without this thing. Or also, I feel like you're getting more high quality items, not all the time, but if I go to Target or go to Walmart or go to an actual store here and buy something I need, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the Amazon product was going to be a lower quality. All in all, I feel like it's a good thing. We don't always need immediate things when we think of them.
Oh, I so agree. I mean, they say the United States is having like its comfort and convenience crisis. And that's because people expect everything to be so convenient. But when things are slightly inconvenient, I feel like that's when we appreciate them more. Like if you just order something on Amazon, boom, it shows up. Like there's totally a time and place for that where it's like, oh, you're busy or you just need batteries overnight or something. Like for sure, Amazon's very helpful for those type of things.
Or like that random thing that does not exist in a store. Because that's the only time I let myself now. I'm like, okay, I've actually tried to find this and it just doesn't exist. But yes, continue on.
To where then when you buy something in person that you found and you got to touch it and decide, like, I feel like the purchase feels more real. Like you make the transaction with your own card in person. So you're like, do I really want it? And then you got to carry it out to the car or in my case, the bike, get it home. It makes you question, I feel like, if you need it more, which then you actually do need it and like it and appreciate it. So I'm with you. Team in-person shopping for the majority of things.
Yeah. So I love that we're both slowing down with the rapid purchases or just indulging every single desire.
100%. And it makes me feel really good as a small business owner.
Yes.
I was watching this YouTube video that 90% of retail physical stores fail within their first year. And then after that, it's like the other remaining like 5% of those will fail within like their first 3 years. Like it's a horrible statistic. And I can't believe that I've had a retail store for 5 years now. And it's literally because people actually go out of their way to prioritize in-person shopping and supporting small business, leave their house, try something on. So I try to reciprocate that energy back into the world as often as possible. And I feel like I haven't even really talked about anything I've bought lately because when I was even showing Jesse around like on my little street this weekend, I'm like everything in our apartment or the fridge or my closet right now is from one of these little mom and pop shops here. But there's no point in really sharing about them on my social media or on the podcast, because I'm like, no one's going to come to this random tiny little store on my street. So it doesn't really, I don't know, benefit people for me to be talking about it. But for me in these businesses, like, it's so good to support your local economy. And I'll save this rant for around Black Friday. We do our like non-consumption Black Friday type of episode. But there's some statistic that small business owners reinvest in their communities like 80% of the money, like, stays local, goes to other small businesses, goes to their family, goes to local things, to where when you're just buying from Target or big box stores or Amazon, that money's not staying in your community, which then makes it harder for local communities to keep circulating it. Because if you make your money local, go across the street, go to the local coffee shop, go to a local restaurant, go to a local clothing store, you're keeping that money in your community instead of making money locally and then just giving it all to a chain.
Yeah, no, for sure. So a good little reminder to maybe cut back on the Amazon. I don't think I'm the only one. I've seen multiple TikToks where everyone's like, guys, we need to put our foots down, because what happens every single time, and this is also a reason I'm cutting back a lot too, if we all put these other businesses out, they're just going to raise the prices when they're the only one. It might be cheaper, a little bit cheaper here, which I don't even find it that cheaper anymore. For me, again, I will only Amazon things if it's, I find that in every other industry, once it's the only one, they're just going to raise the prices and make it the only option and the most expensive. So yeah. And also, I work from home. I'm home all the time. I don't mind going out and having things I need to go out and get. So it's been a good little mindset shift. Any other updates?
No. And I feel like that was a good September chat, because October has a lot of identity, like we were saying, with pumpkins and fall. And September, I feel like, is a good end of summer going into fall time to reflect on, like, no spend September is a thing for a reason. Sober September is a thing for a reason, because you were going out, you're drinking all summer, and you're like, okay, time to reel it in a little bit. So I feel like if you don't really know what to do with yourself at this time, it's a great season to start some type of health and wellness challenge, some type of budgeting, 75 hard, something like that, where you're like, okay, it's not too cold yet. It's not crazy holiday season. How can I use this time wisely? Which, I mean, ties in perfectly today with the curriculum of how can we be efficient and not just doom scroll and add more value to our lives.
Exactly. And as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, channel that back to school energy. Okay, should we do peaks of the week?
Yes, take it away.
My peak is, I mean, I had a pretty nice week. I have a few things to choose from. But yesterday, me and my friend Kenzie went to afternoon tea at the Ritz-Carlton, St. Louis. That was really fun. That was really nice. They have a whole tea experience for their 35th anniversary, and it has different bites and desserts and drinks based on the history of the hotel and all the famous guests that have stayed there. So if you're in St. Louis, highly recommend. They have it going on through October, and it's a good little afternoon. You can get a group of gals together, family, friends, have tea, chat, hang out in the nice lobby that they recently renovated, and hang out in a posh little hotel. And yeah, a fun afternoon activity.
That sounds like a really good vibe. Is it only the St. Louis Ritz-Carlton, or some of the other ones maybe?
I feel like the other ones have tea. This one for their anniversary is definitely themed around the St. Louis Ritz.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I think they all do different types of activities. And I think you could definitely find a tea, or even just go out and have tea with friends. There's tons of tea rooms all across the country. I know even in St. Louis, there's a place called, I think it's the London Tea Room. You can do an afternoon tea. It's a great activity. Or just do it at your house. On the theme of saving money, you could totally make cute little finger sandwiches, get a tower from Goodwill, or even just plates. I mean, there's so many different ways you could decorate and DIY it yourself.
Oh my God, I'm trying to not derail us, but like, I just have to comment. Maybe this could be someone's curriculum. I have been saving so many pins of tea parties, because now that I have my garden, I'm like, oh, a tea party back here would be so cute. And the amount of gorgeous china that lives at thrift stores that I walk past like all the time, and I'm like, I have no reason to have all of this china, but I want it. And so I was like, what could I do that would justify me buying some of this vintage china? I was like, I could have a tea party. So I started looking on Pinterest. And yeah, if you guys are looking for something cute to host, having your own tea party with little sandwiches and different types of tea and old china, oh my God, like It's so whimsical and romantic looking. And you can do it inside, like if the weather is not appropriate wherever you are. I love that idea. We're in a high tea time, it seems.
For sure. Okay, what's your peak of the week?
Okay, I also have this little shed in my back garden. The original owner had built the shed because her daughter was staying with her for like an extended period of time. But then she sold our apartment home thing to another lady, and that lady just used it like fully as a shed, like to store stuff. So it got a little spooky. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to clean it out. And she had two of these IKEA cabinets in there. So I started pulling them out. Well, I've encountered easily 300 spiders in the last week from cleaning out this shed. Spiders of all types, red ones, skinny ones, furry ones, really overcame my fear of spiders because I was just like, you know what? We got to put gloves on. We got to tackle this because I wanted these shelves in our inside. I was like, these are so handy to, we don't have that much storage here. And so I bucked up and I faced all of the spiders and the slugs and the cobwebs and cleaned out these cabinets and brought them inside and then organized all of my items into them. And they look great. Very happy with how it turned out. But there were multiple points along the way that I was like, I could stop anytime and just close the shed door and call it quits. I had a scarf like wrapped around my head, like a, what do you call those? Burka? Bershka. No.
I don't know.
The headscarves. Oh, I feel like I'm appropriating this and I'm really, really not trying to. I know it starts with a B, but I had it over my hair and tied around my neck and all the way down because I was like, no spider is getting in my hair in the midst of this. Like, I'm not going to be able to sleep if I know that they're crawling in my hair.
And you almost gave up on the dream, but you didn't. And now you have beautiful shelves.
And now I have storage in my living room. Yes, there's a few more things in there that could be tackled. And I'm like, no, that's enough for this month. Maybe Clay can do the next one.
That's amazing. Well, congrats. good job on all the hard work. And yeah, reusing something that you already had. That's great.
On persevering.
Yeah.
Okay, reading at your guys' peaks of the week. This is really sweet. Hannah said, reading at the park.
Peaceful, tranquil. I love it. China said, had a mountain getaway with my boyfriend in Asheville. That sounds so lovely. Hope you had the best time.
Kate said, finally got out my appendix after 2 months of it being ruptured. LOL. I have no idea how you added an LOL at the end. Props to you. I hope that that went okay and that you're feeling much better now.
And Sarah said, 3-day weekend equals 4-day work week. I love that. I wish we always had 4-day work weeks. That would be really nice.
You could if you move to the Netherlands.
Oh, is that how it is there? Oh, okay. Very interesting. Pop off, Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box that we post every Monday. The handle is @RDFriendsPodcast. And now, diving in to course curriculum. First, we're going to talk about what it is, where this concept came to be, then how you can build your own curriculum. We're going to shout out some resources, some free and affordable ways that you can do this, how to stay accountable, some things that you could study, ideas that we have, and then some things that are in our personal course curriculums or ones that we would like to add in the future.
I love it. Okay, take it away. You know what's funny? At the beginning of the episode, we said that if you haven't seen it, that's crazy because it's all over TikTok. I have not seen this yet, but now I'm obsessed. Now that I've been researching, I'm getting more videos on my For You page, and I love this so much. So please tell us how you found this because you're the one that brought this to my desk.
To my desk. I planted it on into your office. I love that. Well, all credit to the original creator. Her name is Elizabeth Jean. She said she had no intention of making it be this like viral thing that's happening online right now. And it was just something she was doing for herself because she said she's always loved to learn, but needed like the structure to hold herself accountable. And it started when she wanted to become a wine sommelier. I need to take this course so that I can like pronounce that.
Curriculum on French words of French, wine sommelier.
Sommelier. It's like I know it. I've heard it so many times. I can spell it. I knew I was going to butcher it. But
no, all good.
She did that for like 2 years. And then after she decided to go on a sober journey and was like, oh shit, I need something else to study now. And so then she made more curriculum. And now it's just become this thing. She shared online and other people were like, I love that. And I saw one video that was like, let's make intellectualism chic again. And I just thought that that was a great motto for this because I feel like the pendulum always swings in everything with art, from interior design to fashion, and even now on social media. And I think that this is a great other end of the pendulum from the TikTok dances that we had a few years ago, and a lot of like super short, brain rot, mind-numbing 7-second videos. Now to see TikTok pushing longer form content, educational content, resourceful content. I love this. I'm all about it. And it seems like there's a collective support for it, where we're all kind of exhausted and fatigued from really, really short form content where you can't even remember what you saw at the end of the day if you were only watching 5-10 second videos. It's like, okay, let me use my time a little bit better. And because content is everywhere, whether it's books, audiobooks, podcasts, YouTube videos, courses, like media is going to be a part of our lives forever. But how can we distill down the media that we're letting into our bubble for things that we actually care about, instead of just like letting our algorithms bombard us with whatever it thinks the trend that we need to see?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing minefield easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns, so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use if you're selling anything online. Get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show. Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. So what is the structure for this? How do you think are some ways that people could add a curriculum to their life?
Well, I think it depends on if you are someone who loves organization, then you could have probably a lot of fun really setting up your curriculum, like making a syllabus, planning it out week by week. But if you're someone who that part is going to hinder you from even getting started, then you're maybe someone who wants to find curriculum that's already online and just be like, you know what, I'm going to work on this whenever I'm going to work on it, whenever I feel inspired, because some progress is better than no progress. So I think the first part of even making school for yourself as an adult is reflecting on your learning style and what did you not like about school? And now that you can make your own school, how can you set it up in a way that is fun for you so you'll actually stick with it? Like, what kind of student were you?
I would say I was middle organized. Like, I was not unorganized, but I was not type A by any means. But I loved having color-coded folders and notebooks, and I definitely read the syllabus, and yeah, I would use that to learn, but I'm not, like, if I was going to do something like this, I had a fun idea. Maybe if you're more not super, super organized, when you're feeling inspired, you could write down 3 to 5 things that we want to be on your fall curriculum. Something that's been really fun for me and Connor is we have this coffee passport, which is all these different coffee shops in St. Louis have buy one, get one free. And we've been going out and exploring, and we get it stamped every time we try a new coffee shop. And that's been really fun. And I've been very held accountable to getting that done because it expires in December. So I feel like having that physical passport has been really helpful in us actually doing it and going and using these coupons. So I think you could do something like that for this fall curriculum. Go in Canva if you want to be really organized and make a cute page of 3 to 5 different topics, maybe one activity or one goal you have for each different lesson, theme, topic for that school. And then when you do it, you can stamp it or maybe buy some cute stickers, or if you have cute stickers, I feel like I'm always getting stickers from brands or different places, put a sticker on it. So that could be a more chill, organized way to hold yourself accountable.
I love that. It's like a spin on junk journaling.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how you said that there's an expiration date on the passport of December or whatever. I do think some part of this to have success, like most things in life, if you don't have an end goal, you're probably not going to follow through. So for someone that might be a timeline end goal of like, okay, I want to accomplish this by December, I'm going to stick with the traditional semesters and then I'll do a new one in the spring. Like maybe that's your take on it. Or maybe you're someone who's like, I just want the knowledge. So once I can pass a test, then I'll feel like I succeeded in this. Or maybe you're someone who is looking to make friends and your way of doing this might be like, you know what, I just want to meet up with someone once a week, twice a week, and work on this quote course or concept or research and feel that connection with someone who has a shared interest of yours. And you can kind of scratch two things at once by meeting up with friends and learning. So I think you kind of got to figure out your why underneath it. Do you need organization in your life? Do you really want to learn something? Do you have a goal in mind that you need this fulfilled for a particular reason? Or is it more like, would be nice if I spent more time on this?
Yeah, absolutely. Should we go into ideas of things you could study?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Okay, you made a really good list of just different topics, themes that you could study. So some ideas, another language. We talk about that a lot. I'm sorry, but that's obviously a really good one. I'm sure a lot of people think of that comes top of mind. Technology, maybe that's a certain editing software, editing photos, maybe getting into film photography, coding, copywriting, organization tools like Notion, Monday. Another one, history. Love this one. Allowing yourself to go to a museum and wandering, spending 2, 3, 4 hours there looking at art or natural history, science, anything like that.
It just started raining right outside my window. So if you guys can hear any rain, sorry about that. But on the museum note, I have been holding off because there's this Dutch museum pass. I think it's $120 a year or something, but then you get access to the vast majority of the museums in the country. And even though I've been like itching to go to some museums, I was like, this would be the perfect winter activity because then I can walk around and get some steps in, feel like I got out of the house when the weather is kind of yucky and I'll be with baby and that feels like a good outing. So depending on where you live, you could see if there's any sort of pass like that. Even in Omaha, like I know Dundee Film Streams, they show artistic movies. You can get a membership and then you get much cheaper movies. Like I think all one movie at a time is like $12, but then for a whole year, it's like 50 or something. So if you are keeping budget in mind with some of these things, look into a longer membership. Like it might actually be way more cost effective to do an annual pass than to do these one off at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you were saying that, a cost effective version of this too. Well, if you ever want to come to St. Louis, you can go to all the art museum, science, history museum. They're all free. So I'm lucky. But another version, there's a lot of free audio walking tours for different cities, different neighborhoods. They're all online. My neighborhood has a walking tour that you can just download and it'll tell you what map to walk and then you can listen to it. Or driving. There's so many different driving audio tours. There's an app for that. I'll link it in the show notes. But yeah, there's some free versions of that as well.
A couple more ideas of some things to study are health and wellness, Ayurveda, nutrition, kinesiology, yoga, myofascial release, cycle syncing, fertility. You could do some artistic hobbies like ceramics, beading, sewing, mosaics, junk journaling, cross stitching. Maybe you're more into the idea of home skills, baking, gardening, cooking, cleaning. There's a lot of fun spirituality ones like astrology, Reiki, cacao, sound healing, Buddhism, different types of writing. There's creative writing, short stories, poetry, fiction, daily journaling, or life skills. This is one that I don't have one for yet, but it makes me realize I should add one, like how to drive stick shift or how to change a tire. There are so many videos on YouTube of life skill things that if you don't know how to do them, you can figure them out quickly. Like my sister has preached for years that she has learned so much about car maintenance from YouTube. She can do the amount of things she can do with a car. I'm like, how do you know this? Like, oh, let me just rewire this. Let me change my tire. Let me change my brake pads. I'm like, this is crazy that you know how to do this. And she's like, I literally just learned from YouTube.
Yeah. And then final thought, anything related to music. So if you've ever played an instrument, getting back into it, piano, drums, clarinet, guitar, viola for me. I have my viola in the basement. I always think about picking it back up. So maybe that'll be in my curriculum, TBD. It is needing a repair. One of the strings is broken. So that has been holding me back. Anytime there's a barrier to doing anything, I feel like that makes it much harder. So that's my barrier right now. And, or even just discovering new artists or listening to different types of classic music. So classical, jazz, opera, anything like that. I feel like that goes into learning.
And one more category to shout for things you could study is financial things, whether that's figuring out bookkeeping, taxes, investing, how to create a budget. There's a lot within the money realm that would probably only benefit you in life to learn more about.
Okay, another one I thought of with back to life skills, public speaking. I have a friend, I feel like I've said this on the podcast before, I can't remember, but she is literally works in finance and engineering, and wanted to be a better public speaker. So she joined an improv 8-week workshop and did improv classes for 8 weeks because she wanted to get better at just even thinking on her feet in the work setting, and she loved it. Okay, so now we're going to share some of the topics we are looking forward to studying this fall. Do you want to go first and share your first one?
Yeah, my first one is cacao. I first had cacao come into my life probably 3 or 4 years ago. Hillary and I were doing little cacao ceremonies at New Wave, going to Tulum all the time before I moved there. I would always go to this place called Odie, and it's a coffee shop, but only a cacao shop. So picture like a typical cafe, but instead of ordering matcha or coffee or any other type of tea, you can only get cacao there, hot or iced. And so I just really fell in love with cacao. And then now that I moved here, I've been going to weekly cacao ceremonies, and I just have been feeling so called to bring cacao more into my life and maybe properly do something with it. So even this morning, I was watching a couple videos about the history of cacao and ways to consume it ethically and how to make a ceremony that's done while honoring the history and the importance of cacao. And I'm going to, for creative research purposes, a different place that hosts cacao ceremonies in Amsterdam, because I've been to a couple here in Harlem. Now I'm going to go on Friday to Amsterdam because I found this girl online and she even has courses. And she does have a course starting later this fall, but it's right around my due date. So I don't think it's going to be able to work, but I'm looking forward to going to try her ceremonies too. Oh my gosh, it's like really, really raining. Okay, Kara, go ahead. I'll mute my mic.
It's funny because I cannot hear the rain at all. And I was telling Allison, I'm like, there's such loud construction right outside my house right now. And she's like, I don't hear it. And it's so loud to me. So shout out to our mics because they work really well, because I'm like, I don't hear your rain and you don't hear my so loud bangs that are going on right outside my window. Anywho, my first one that I've been actively learning and has already been a part of my curriculum for the last couple of weeks is home ec and trying new cookbooks and recipes. I got a cookbook for Christmas last year. I went to a favorite things party where everyone brings three of their favorite things, and then you end up leaving with three of someone's favorite things. And one of them was this really good cookbook called Seriously So Good by Brock Your Body. She's a blogger, a food blogger. And I absolutely love this cookbook because it's a good mix of healthy, but also a little indulgent. And yeah, has some really good healthy recipes, but also recipes that will wow your guests. Lots of good appetizers, entrees, meals under 30 minutes, desserts, things like that. Been trying a variety of recipes that I never thought I could make at home. Also a variety of ethnic foods. Yeah, just different types of spices or...
Oh my God, yum.
Types of cuisines that I would never think to make at home. I made Moroccan spiced carrots last night and just a different blend of seasoning that I've never experimented with in my house. And they were so good. She has like Mediterranean, Moroccan, just all these different types of cuisines and like Asian. It's like a spicy shrimp poke bowl thing. I made that. That was so good. And I would have never thought to make this type of shrimp at my house. So it's really fun. And right now, for home ec, I've just been getting inspired to try new recipes of just things. Like there's another one, a red wine beef stew. I'm like that, like I've never made that in my life, but I'm like, that sounds fun. I have some, we buy a cow every year, half a cow every year. And I have some cuts of meat that I haven't used yet and it'll be perfect for that. So yeah, getting inspo and trying new things.
Wow, I love that. I'm sure you're going to learn a lot more about spices because I feel like a disappointing aspect of American food, we don't utilize spices enough. And I feel like a lot of other types of cuisine do a much better job incorporating different spices in their recipes.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally the joke of white people lack seasoning, you know, with the food. And that's like the joke of our personality sometimes too. But I agree. It'll be fun too. And some of the blends of seasonings you have in your house, you just don't even realize that they all go together perfectly like that. So it's been really, very, very fun.
Yeah, learning more about the pairings, like what goes well together. Nice.
Okay, what's next for you?
Next for me, this is incredibly niche, but maybe not that niche, honestly, because I feel like everyone and their mom has a poodle breed dog nowadays. So last week, I went to a poodle fur consultation for Miss Peaches. Basically, this lady had this really cool career. She was like working high up at Michael Kors and doing all of this like retail stuff. And then she had kids, which quick side note for my people who want to give birth out there. I was talking to her about wanting to have a home birth. And she's like, oh yeah, I did two home births. I decided on my due date, this is the day I want to have the baby. Pops the baby out. Next day I'm up and at him. And she's like, you decide. And I was like, okay, I want to spend all my time with you because you were so cool. Her house was stunning. I just like went in there. She like made me a little espresso with some coconut milk. And she has basically created a business teaching people how to care for poodle mixes fur. And so everything from like labradoodles to cockapoos to golden doodles, any of those dogs that have that curly kinky fur that mats so easily. And it is such a disservice that it's so easy to buy these dogs, but no one teaches you how to take care of them. And the grooming, A, it's really expensive. B, it's timely. And so it's like, you can't only rely on taking them to the groomers. You really need to learn how to do it yourself. And so I was like, okay, I don't have my good Tulum groomer anymore. I was taking her once a week in Tulum because this lady was amazing and the cost of living there was significantly lower than here. So I could afford to take her every week. She's not getting groomed once a week here, I can tell you that. And I was like, fuck, I gotta figure this out. And yeah, she has this whole room in her house that she teaches you different techniques and brushing styles and combing and why certain shampoos work well. And I learned a lot. And so on Friday, I spent literally 5 hours tending to Peach's fur. And then I'm going back for my second consultation on September 22nd. And so hopefully Peaches will have really, really good looking fur here soon enough.
Wow, that's a good niche for her. And I could totally see how that's important with all the matting and stuff that can happen really easily.
Yeah, it's really so sad. I was such a Karen at the park a couple weeks ago. I told you guys about that food truck festival we went to. There was this huge, I don't know what he was, but some poodle-y breed. And the owner like came up to us and he was like, oh, twins, it's Harmony me. And I was like, dude, you need to groom your dog. Like I called him out. I was like, those mats, they were the worst I've ever seen. He grabbed one with his hand and he ripped it in half. He's like, it's supposed to be like this. They evolved this way. And I was like, no, they used to shed and now they don't shed because we want hypoallergenic dogs. And now like, just like lambs used to, just like sheep, they used to lose their fur naturally. But then once we domesticated them, they stopped shedding. And so now they need us to cut it out for them. So I'm like arguing with this guy at the park. And I'm like, it's inhumane because it is.
Yeah, Matt's hurt the doggies. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's like pulling
on
their skin.
Hot spots.
Well,
bleed. Sad. So yeah.
This is good advice. Yeah. For anyone out there who has a poodle breed.
And what is your next one?
Yeah. Okay. Next one for me, I will say world studies. We had a class in high school called world studies, and it was just all about appreciating different cultures and getting out. We had to go each month to a different cultural experience. So going to an Italian festival, a Greek festival, any type of these festivals in Omaha, or going to different types of restaurants like Nepalese food, like Nepal or Himalayan food, stuff like that. And I really loved that class. So for me, I'm going to try and do that this fall. Next weekend is the Hispanic festival in St. Louis. So I'm going to go to that and appreciate the different Hispanic cultures. But also with this one, I'm continuing, of course, my Spanish speaking studies. And I found a Spanish speaking club here in St. Louis. I can't remember if I've said this on the podcast or not, but I went last Saturday and it's 2 hours. You hang out with other people, you talk in Spanish, you get to meet people, some native speakers, some people who are beginners, and it's great practice for keeping up my Spanish.
I was like on a walk today thinking about you and all of your Spanish. And I was like, I wonder if we ever did an episode where you did it in Spanish.
Oh my gosh. I know. That would be really fun, honestly. Oh, I'd need Hania here or somebody to, because I feel like when I'm with a native speaker, they really help me excel, or they can help me if I'm like, what word is that? That would be very fun. I do
that can
need
your final
my
test. Once you
oh my
passed.
Gosh, yes. A TikTok in Espanol. Now, my biggest thing, I might get a new tutor to work on my accent, which they say you can improve your accent by watching movies or TV shows. And mine's really not that bad, but I would just like to improve it because it is so funny. It just sounds so weird when you're talking to someone at Spanish speaking club or just anybody that's speaking in Spanish and they're using their English accent because you're not using the right part of your mouth. You need to move. English, you're using a big part of your mouth. Spanish, you're using more like the front of your mouth. So it is always funny when someone's not using an accent. There's nothing wrong with it. You don't need to use an accent. But for me, that's something I am on my fall curriculum is to improve my accent.
I love that you have a goal within your language goal.
Yes. What is your next curriculum topic?
Well, I'll stay on the topic of foreign language because mine is I need to learn Dutch. So I ordered 1,000 blank flashcards and I made a spreadsheet of the most common 1,000 words to know. I don't expect myself to memorize all of them straight away, but maybe around November, December, I'm going to make a quiz for myself that I need at least 250 of those. And I think that that's possible. I've already probably got like 50.
That's great. Yeah, the words that you're seeing all the time, I'm sure that's nice to know.
Yeah, there was some key ones immediately that I would hear people say. And so I was like, I just have to look up what this word is. Like, alsjeblieft. It's like, here you go, and please, and you're welcome. Because I was like, why is everyone saying this in all of these different contexts?
Whoa.
But yeah, that needs to happen. And we've been saying it. So now accountability is telling you guys.
Okay, next one for me, film. I had some friends that took film as a course in college, and I was kind of jealous because they got to watch all of the most iconic films of all time and then discuss them. And Connor was in this class, and I feel like he has such a good understanding of iconic films that I never got to do. So right now, I want to go back and watch iconic films, especially even my other film friends, like Hannah knows all of these classic films. And I just think that's really cool. So right now I'm watching all the Star Wars series. I've never seen any of them. Got the first one down. I'm halfway through the second. I think there's 8 or 9. There's probably more. I don't know. Like I don't even know how many there are, but that's something for me that I think would be cool to know.
That's a really fun one. I think it's good to have things on the curriculum that aren't just like hardcore studying traditional topics, but giving yourself, I mean, recess was the thing. It's your recess.
Yeah. You can't learn without play. And I was stalking the gal who came up with the curriculum one, and she has a lot of fun ones like this too. She has documentaries, movies. She said she had a Y2K curriculum. So she watched all the Mary-Kate and Ashley movies. So
oh
yes,
my God,
you're
fun.
Spot on. Yeah, it does not need to be so study.
Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 left. I'll go over these. Oh no, 5. Oh my God. so many things. No, just four. Okay. Pregnancy and parenthood is one, because I feel like they've been kind of grouped together. And I'm sure anyone who's been pregnant can relate. As you become pregnant, it like just takes over your life. There's really no avoiding it. And so before I got pregnant, I was always kind of freaked out by blood and needles, and I still am. But now I've just become so fascinated with the fact that like our bodies literally grow a human being inside them. It's so crazy to me. And so I probably spend 3 to 4 hours a day on pregnancy and parenthood learning and content consumption, because it's just so fun to me. Next one, herbal medicine. I bought this book. It has over 100 major herbs and how to use each one and what ailments they're for. So I'm also going to make a test for myself to take in a few months to pair the herb with its function and healing properties. Then floral arrangement. I also started this last week, rather than just buying a pre-made bouquet, buying a bunch of individual bunches of the same type of flower and then getting them home and arranging them all myself. I think it's so fun. So I'm going to keep sticking with that. And then face yoga. I've been going to a class each Tuesday, almost all of them over the last 12 weeks, unless I was traveling. But I need to create a curriculum for doing it at home or find some, because I do it at class and I like think it's so fun at class, but then I don't really do it in the rest of my week, just gua sha. And so I'd like to develop a routine that I can implement. That's only like a couple minutes, so I can stay with it. Because the last time I got Botox in like 2021, just that one time, and it was so expensive. I'm like, I don't know how people do this all the time. So I haven't got it since, and I would like to stay this way as long as possible, mostly because I'm frugal. I really have nothing against Botox. Like if I had all the money in the world, I'd probably be doing a lot more of that stuff, but I don't. So face yoga is on the agenda for now.
Okay, I love all those. My rapid fire rest of the ones for me. Of course, English reading. I have a goal of 20 books this year. I am on track. Red Rising, those giant books really kind of set me back a little bit. I'm still on track, but those took so long to read. Finally finished the last one. So good. And the next final book comes out next year. So if you guys want to read them, do it before the next one comes out. So good. So, and I have 6 nonfiction books that I want to read as well. I've only done one. Definitely got into Red Rising. So then that was all fictional. So I have 5 more nonfiction books to read for the end of the year. PE, how you just said, I would love to go to a rock climbing gym here in St. Louis and just do open gym or some of the, what's that called? Like free climb? Yeah. Because when I was growing up, we had Lifetime Fitness by my house, and that one had rock climbing, and you could just do it yourself because they had the automatic propellers. And I would go rock climbing all the time as a kid, because you only had to be like 11 or 12 to go and do it by yourself. So I would just go to the gym and rock climb for like an hour with my friend Natalie. We did it all throughout middle school, high school. It was so fun. And I haven't really done that since. So I would love to do a little rock climbing excursion for an afternoon. And let's see, final one, music. As I mentioned, maybe getting back into viola. I don't know. That one, I don't feel the passion for it. But even just attending more live music, like jazz nights, always a vibe. Or maybe a symphony concert, just anything live music, I'm going to try and get out and do.
Okay, 2 comments, because I feel like they can be applied to everyone from you mentioning them. With rock climbing, you said you love doing it as a child. I feel like that's a really key consideration to take when you're making your curriculum, is what did you love when you were a kid that either you stopped doing because you can't take all of the electives when you're in school, or what really lights you up but you don't make time for? And then how you said going to jazz night, maybe play the viola. I do think sometimes just getting back into that environment makes you more into it, because I've been wanting to get into face yoga for so long, and like the pressure points of it. And I'll see TikToks of people doing these really meticulous like face yoga things, but I'm such like a hands-on or in-person one-on-one learner for it to really, really stick. And so it's like I've had to go to a couple months of the class to then get myself excited about it, to do it on my own time. As we move into like ways to stay accountable with it, is maybe the first part of your class is just getting into that scene again. Maybe it's listening just to podcasts about that. And you're like, okay, now I'm ready to actually take action on it. But sometimes I feel like things can seem so daunting. We're like, oh my God, there's so much to learn. Where do I even begin? And I think a really good first step is just getting back into that atmosphere.
Absolutely. Well, along with that, we have some resources and tips for staying accountable. So getting into resources, the girl who created this, she always boasts about this, and we are big advocates for this as well. Get your library card, because for a lot of the things we said, the library has free resources. For my home ec, my library has so many cookbooks, and my library has a partnership with other library systems in St. Louis, so I can get a card at pretty much every library system in St. Louis. I have two, even though I don't live in a different county. They partner with my county, so I can be a member at both. So get a library card, get multiple library cards, use the stuff. I just saw a girl in St. Louis post about what her library has, and it had fishing poles, board games, video games, recipe books, like literally so many things. There were get well kits if you're sick. Like there was just so many things you don't even know your library has. And
no,
for this topic,
insane.
Yeah,
they
it's
even
insane.
Have seeds that you can start your own garden. Yes. You don't even have to give them back.
Yeah, so many things. So if you don't have one, get one and go to their website for language learning. We've said this. They have so many language learning tools, apps, subscriptions to all the news sources, literally everything. So start there.
And I haven't tried it yet, but in this research, I found that Universal Class is what it's called, is a platform that provides free online courses, and it's available with most library cards.
Other obvious examples, YouTube University. There was a kid at Spanish Speaking Club who I thought was a native speaker. I was like, where did you learn Spanish? It's so good. He's like, YouTube University. So don't sleep on YouTube. There's so many good resources for my Spanish studies. If I'm on a long car ride, I'll find a long YouTube video of vocabulary or phrases, and I'll just listen to that. So that's a good example. Anything else? I mean, tons of free online courses. Oh, yeah. I've heard about this. Harvard and Yale have free classes that you can take.
Yeah, I put some popular ones in the notes here. There's one called The Art of Persuasive Writing and Public Speaking that so many people online have said was really, really good. And another one is, quote, Managing Happiness. And then this one's not a Harvard one, but it's from Hillsdale College, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. A lot of males took this one. I don't remember if you guys remember seeing on social media like a year ago, all of the men being like, all I think about is the Roman Empire. Like, and there was, I don't know, there was just a lot of funny jokes around everyone's man. Like you'd film your man and be like, what are you thinking about? And they're like, the Roman Empire.
Yeah, because it's fascinating. And
it is. It's like, it's literally so integrated into everything.
Yeah. And you learn from history. History repeats itself. So I don't know much about the Roman Empire, but I feel like that's why a lot of people are interested in it as well. So that's some examples. I guess podcast series is another one we wrote down. There's so many deep dives. There's even podcasts that are just on one topic. And the whole podcast, maybe it's 10 episodes, 12 episodes, but it deep dives onto one topic. So that's great. Okay, now we have some ways to stay accountable. You wrote a good one. Have a dedicated learning space.
Yeah, I just rearranged my apartment. So my desk is right in front of the window now because I found myself always working at the kitchen table, which looked out the window, instead of going and sitting in the desk. And so I was like, okay, I need to rearrange them because I always want to have the best lighting at my desk. And that one little change, now I've been spending so much more time at the desk. I put fresh flowers on it, a cute candle, this little aromatherapy thing, you know, back to school energy. Got my pens in my cute little container, got my coaster, a new water bottle, and I have just been learning. I'm not kidding. At this desk, like every single day for the past 10 days, it's been so fun. So I think if you have a space that you can go to that your mind is like, okay, when I'm in this spot, maybe that is just the public library, maybe it's a certain coffee shop, maybe it's a corner of your house, but they do say that the mind associates place with activities. So that's why you never want to like do your homework in bed or work in bed, because then it can make you have sleeping trouble because your mind is like, wait, do we work in bed or are we sleeping in here? What's going on?
Yeah, that's a really good shout. Love that tip. Another tip is to do it with friends. My friend Kelly texted us that she wants to start a cookbook club where we all bring a recipe that we made from a cookbook. So we're doing that next month. I'm obsessed with this idea and I'm so happy because it ties it directly into my personal goals. You could do a presentation night where you all give a presentation on a certain topic. So maybe the theme could be how it works and everyone picks an everyday thing and explains how it works, like airplanes, Wi-Fi. I have seen this on TikTok and it's really funny because everyone pick something that they had no idea how it worked. And you learn some interesting things. You could do the origins of blank. So you could do the origin of pizza or slang words, how nail polish was invented, etc. Or if everyone knows a lot about something, maybe everyone does a mini masterclass. So say you work in social media, how to build your personal brand, or if someone's a financial advisor, top tips as a financial advisor, things like that. And everyone does a presentation on what they know.
I absolutely love the idea of bringing other people in to do those presentations. I've made a lot of random like friend acquaintances here that are all in different bubbles. And I was thinking like, oh, I want to host a dinner or something at my place, but it could be really fun to have everyone come with a presentation, because I feel like a lot of times when you have mixed groups of people, it can be hard if there's not a common denominator tying everyone to like, why are we coming or what are we doing? And educating each other on something could be a really fun activity to make people accountable to actually showing up and feeling like they have value in the group to share with other people. That's a great idea.
I love a presentation night. We did one on McKenna's Bachelorette and it was so fun, so funny. And it's fun to see how everyone puts the presentation together. If they use Google Slides or Canva, it's even just fun to see different people's creativity and how their brains work in that way, which is, it's a great time.
That's
another
awesome.
Tip.
I love that.
Yes.
If you've been loving the weekly episodes of Already Friends and want even more real, raw, and unfiltered conversations from us, come to our Patreon page. Over there, your support helps us keep this public show going every single week. And as a thank you, you'll get instant access to our entire library of bonus episodes. We even go deeper, talking about things we don't always share on the public feed. Think shocking life moments, friendship breakups, controversial opinions, behind the scenes of our businesses, and so much more. It's only $5 a month to join, and we still add new bonus episodes each month. So if you're craving more candid, cozy chats, spicy takes, and big sister energy, head to patreon.com/alreadyfriends, select the $5 a month tier, and you'll become a member. We'd love to have you, and if you've already joined, thank you so much for the support.
Another tip is to actually enroll in a free course. I put this to use last year. I saw a free 2-week self-help online conference. It was through Tony Robbins. I literally just got an Instagram ad and signed up for it, registered, did it both days, because actually signing up and enrolling is going to help you stay accountable. And it was great. And I would love to do something like that in person, and a lot of us would, but there's travel barriers, there's cost barriers. So finding something online and enrolling and committing and actually showing up is a great way to learn and knock something off your fall curriculum.
I proceed with caution of sharing these social media ones, because I feel like we open an app and then all of a sudden we end up going down some rabbit hole. You put your phone down, and you're like, wait, I didn't even look at the thing that I meant to grab my phone for. But there are a few ways to use social media to stay accountable. The girl who created this curriculum concept, Elizabeth Jean, she started the hashtag curriculum club. And there's so many different videos of other people sharing their curriculum, giving other people ideas of what to include or free resources. So definitely search that before you get started if you're feeling like you're not sure what you want to add into your curriculum. But if you wanted to be a creator instead of just consuming the content, you could also post what is on your curriculum as some accountability. Or there's things like Goodreads. If reading is going to be a lot of your classes that you have, posting your review of your book on Goodreads after could be really rewarding. Or I've seen some people, they started a Substack to keep kind of like a log of what their curriculum is and their progress. That's kind of like my website for me. I was telling you guys last month, I think, how I started my website just to have a place to put stuff. And sometimes I feel like that sharing online can really help us stay accountable, because it's like, oh, other people know I've got to follow through. So if you don't have an accountability buddy who's doing a class with you, maybe you can kind of make an online space where you put that, even if no one's really looking at it.
Okay, I love that. I mean, I think that's all we have, but I'm feeling very inspired. I feel like I'm going to go write mine down on a piece of paper in a notebook and give myself a gold star once I complete it. I think the best way, final tips, just make attainable goals. If this is your first time making a curriculum, I think a good practice is to pick 3 to 5 topics and pick one goal with each topic. That's what I'm going to do. And again, like the passport, the coffee passport, I'm going to have it on a piece of paper and hopefully stamp or sticker once I do it. Any final thoughts on your end?
Yeah, I think the main goal should just be making it attainable and fun, especially if you have a really demanding career or kids. How can you center this around learning about things that either help facilitate your career or you as a parent, or if you're the socialite in the group, maybe part of your curriculum is finding all the best restaurants. Like, I think the more you can apply it to your interests in your daily life, the more likely you are to actually stick with it. And I feel like we all have so many things that we want to learn about and so many interests, but because life's and it's moving fast, we don't end up actually like being diligent in following through on learning about them. And so I feel like the framework of building out a class course is kind of just a way to give ourselves like the pat on the back, because for so many other things, you get the reward. Like even if you have a gym membership, like you get to go and people see you there, or you sign up for the class. And if you don't go, you get charged your $12 or whatever, and you get to see people. A lot of other things, we get that external validation. And I think sometimes we don't follow through on our curiosity or the intellectual component of wellness, because it's really just internal. Like even the amount of things that I've learned over the last couple of months, I'm like, I don't really know what to do with this. It's just for me. It's in my own head. I have nothing really to show, but I enjoy it. So that's enough for me. But having the curriculum backing provides that, I don't know, just extra piece of legitimacy that I feel like you can be like, yes, I finished my course and now I feel so proud and now I want to keep going and do it again.
Oh, love that. Okay, amazing. Well, we hope that you all feel inspired to even take up one topic, one class this fall. And yeah.
Yeah, it's totally okay to be a part-time student and work up to your master's later. It's okay
to take 3 credits, not the full 12 or 15 or 18. So that's really fine.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us today. Good luck. Happy learning. And we will catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.